Good morning, everyone. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, I will read down to verse 44. It starts, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men would be in the field, one would be taken and one left. Two women would be grinding at the mill, one would be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for do you not know on what day your Lord is coming? But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So when we read the scriptures, the theme of it is being ready, being prepared. Last week was probably one of the busiest weeks I've had in a long, long time because of just sharing with Jeff this morning that I had to do a functional exercise yesterday for my job, and that took, in the midst of a busy week of preparation, that took a lot of my time. And also, I teach as well, so that took even more time, and it seemed like 24 hours seemed like 24 minutes. And, you know, when I think about it, how do I get through it is more on preparation. It's more if you have foreknowledge of something that you're going to do, no matter how tedious it may be, logically you want to prepare yourself. Just like we get up today and prepare ourselves to church. And for the most part, physically, it's we come in and we sit down. The mental part is removing all of the distractions we encounter throughout the week, and the focus, at least for this two-hour period that we're together, on serving the Lord and giving it our all. And, you know, that's the steps we take. And if we're not prepared, and if we come in unprepared into service, then we tend to drift off or think about other things, or we're here, but we're not here. And we have to question whether our service to the Lord was acceptable in His sight. And I think we already know the answer to that. So what we would do is we need to prepare that we don't go through that again. In the context of the scripture, which Jesus is talking to His disciples, you know, He starts off by saying, but concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven know the Son, but the Father only. I think the whole world would love to know when Jesus is coming back. But guess what? Only the Father knows, not even the Son. But Jesus saying that's not a reason for any of them or any of us not to be prepared. And He tells us we need to be prepared. And you look at verse 42, He says, stay awake. Stay awake. Why should you stay awake? Because I had foreknowledge of when my exercise for my job would occur. I had that knowledge. But I don't have the knowledge of when Jesus is coming back. So therefore, He's saying, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. So already, for us to be prepared, we have to be able to understand that we don't know. The Lord can come back today, can come back tomorrow, come back tonight. But how do we prepare for that if we don't know the exact time? And He gives us an example in verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. So if you had the kind of foreknowledge that the Lord is coming back on Tuesday, then, you know, somebody may say, well, let me go ahead and sin on Sunday and then repent on Monday night or Tuesday morning, since Jesus is coming at 10 a.m. Tuesday. That's exactly how we would think. That's exactly how many of us would think. But the Lord is not going, look, the Lord is nobody's fool. You know, He's like, listen, I've given you the things to be prepared. Verse 44, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So when we look at the scripture here, again, the theme is preparation. And it's not so much when Jesus is just coming back, but we got to be prepared in every aspect of our life, in every walk of life. When we're walking in Jesus, we have to be prepared for everything. And the good news is the scriptures gives us everything we need to be prepared, because we don't know how things will turn out for the day. You know, I didn't know. Some people won't show up. Some people will be sick. Some people won't make it. Some people will have other plans. We don't know when bad things may happen, but they do happen. We don't know when sometimes the good things will happen. But the same theme is applied throughout scriptures. We must be prepared. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 8 and 9. Where he says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." We don't know what type of suffering we're going to go through. We don't know, you know, we may lose a loss of a loved one, like we had to pray over from our brother Paul. So the thing is, we don't know when these things are going to happen. We have to be prepared in the sense that the devil is going to take advantage of that. And it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Why? When the suffering occurs to you, how will you respond to that? Because he says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil is a spiritual being. But as we see here, we know here, throughout the scriptures, there's a reason why he's called the great deceiver, the dragon, that ancient old serpent called the devil, which you'll find in Revelation. He is there for the purpose to devour and destroy you. And he will take advantage of any kind of suffering you got going on in your life to pull you away from God. And so therefore, Peter is saying, be sober-minded and watchful. When you are going through suffering, take a step back. The devil will exploit it. You may be going through things that are very emotional. Take a step back. Be watchful. Because you're at a very vulnerable time when you're going through something bad. You're going to be going through, you're very vulnerable at that point. You're not in the mood where sometimes somebody, you used to joke with somebody, but when you're going through a vulnerable point of time, the jokes are not so funny. Even though it may have nothing to do with your suffering. All of a sudden, somebody's going to know there's something wrong with you, Chris. And all of a sudden, you may be a little more sensitive to certain things or certain things that people may say, because emotionally you're compromised in the sense that you're going through some suffering. And not everybody's prepared to deal with suffering. It depends on the level of suffering. You know, dealing with a loss of life, that is tough. That is tough. It's not so much that you really don't get over it, it's how you handle it. You know, because you're always going to remember the person in your, that you spend time with, and they're no longer here. That's the tough, that's the thing we have to deal with. It's the impact of the loss. You're not going to get over that. It's how you deal with it. And so God helps us to deal with it. And so the thing is, Satan is going to be there to exploit you. But the apostle gives us some good advice in verse 9. He says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Being prepared for when those things do occur. You don't take matters into your own hands. You do what God has given you. You do what God has given you in terms of the weapons, the resources, the equipment, everything that he has given you to handle those things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And a scripture we're familiar with, verse 10. Preparing ourselves, making sure we got our armor of God on when we go through sufferings. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It does not say just be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. If you look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, we're going to go back to Ephesians right quick, but I'm going to go back to Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Listen to what the Lord tells Joshua. In the wrong chapter. Hold on one second. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. He says to Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's telling Joshua to be prepared, be strong and courageous. Now, how do you be strong? How do you, when you go through trials and tribulations, how do you be prepared? How can you be prepared for a spiritual being that you can't even see that's going to manipulate you and exploit you no matter what kinds of suffering? He has no empathy. No matter what you're going through, he is there to destroy you at your most vulnerable point. Remember, we saw when Jesus in Matthew 4 was in the desert, he fasted. And who came along? Satan. I can't see Satan, but he is there. He is there. He is going to exploit your tragedy. He's not going to say, I'm sorry that you're going through what you're going through. He said, I'm going to destroy you first chance I get. He is that evil. And so the thing we have to do in preparing ourselves is right here in Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord. What did he tell Joshua? Be strong and courageous and in the strength of his might. In other words, when you're going through something, go to the Lord. I was asked an interesting question by one of my students who was learning something about databases, and he was like, Professor, what do you recommend? How do we learn all this? There's so much information. And I said, Hussam, I said, well, let me just share this with you as far as my technique of how I approach any type of learning. You learn it until it becomes instinctive. It's a part of you. You know, in other words, learning towards perfection. That doesn't mean you learn everything, but you know that whatever I'm learning, I'm going to know. And I said, you take everything, and you start from this white space, you're able to write down everything about the databases there because you learned it, because you kept practicing it. You kept practicing to the point where it becomes you. Likewise, Christ is a part of our life. That's instinctive. To have our mind, we have the mind of Christ. That's instinctive. I know to go to God when I run into trouble. Just like a little kid panics, who they go, who do they think of first? Their parents. Let me go to mommy and daddy. And there might be a debate of who they go to first, mommy or daddy. Mm-hmm. They tend to go to mommy first. And dads, we tend to be like secondary. But for the most part, they go to their parents first, right? When they're in trouble. As children of the Most High God, do we go to God when we're in despair? When we're going through depression, when we're going through sufferings, do we go to God instantly? Well, Brother Chris, I pray, but I still feel the same way. I still feel angry. I still feel sad. I hear you. I feel like I got my armor on, but it's not working. Well, you can feel like you have a shirt on, but you don't have a shirt on. You can feel like you have a lot of things going on. But have you put that to the test? Because the Bible says you don't have to feel like you put your armor on. It says put your armor on. That's an action. You have to put your armor on before you go into battle. Because listen to verse 11. Put on the whole armor, not partial. And I'm going to get to that in a second. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Once again, when Job was going through sufferings, who did he go to? The Lord. When his wife was doubting him, who did he go to? The Lord. When his friends was doubting him, who was he going to? The Lord. When people turn their back on you, and it's not knowing the people you don't know, it's the people you know. That's where it hurts. Sometimes the people that stab you in the back are the people who are right there next to you. I'm not saying she'll stab you in the back, John. but oftentimes, you know, we forgive and we go through things. But the thing is, it's the devil. God is there to remind you, whatever your sufferings, Satan is there to exploit you. He is giving you a way out of it. That's the good news. There is a way out of every situation, no matter how bad it is, to make you stronger and understand what Joshua was going through. He had to replace Moses. That's tough. That's some big shoes to fill. And God was advising him. And God says, be strong. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? So we are to be prepared. The first thing we need to understand, no matter what sufferings we're going through, listen to what Paul says here in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This verse needs to be repeated over and over and over and over again. Because somebody always is looking to hate somebody. Well, that's not your enemy. Well, he did this or she did this to me. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is against Satan. It says your battle is not against flesh and blood. The Bible tells you your battle, your war is not against any physical person on this earth. Yes, they may do evil. Yes, they'll be held accountable. But your true enemy is Satan. It's the devil. And so, the old saying, some people will say, well, the best trick the devil played on a lot of people is to convince him he doesn't exist. He exists. But it says, for you we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Well, who is our battle against, Paul? But it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, when it says the heavenly places, it's not talk about in heaven from what we see in Revelation 4, where the throne of God presides. The heavenly places is the spiritual places. Okay? That's a whole nother lesson and sermon. Because we got to understand this is their realms. In the spiritual, there are realms. There's a realm where spiritual beings are allowed to exist. Allowed where Satan is allowed to deceive, is allowed to tempt you, and is allowed to exploit you. We get a glimpse of that in Job chapter 1. We see some of that with the war in heaven in Revelation. We see some of that in Daniel. We say the prince of Persia tried to hold back the angel from delivering the message to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. You got to put all of this together. What God is telling you is there is a battle happening behind the scenes where you can't see with your physical eyes, but God through the word is telling you that's your war. And if we are to be prepared and better prepared when we go through struggles, it's easier for us to understand. And now as you begin to read about some of the struggles we have and keeping things in proper perspective, doesn't the story of Joseph makes more sense now when he saw his brothers? Doesn't it make sense why he didn't seek retribution against them? Because he saw the bigger picture. He understood the battle is right here. How is it that we read the scripture, we get these little tidbits about, Satan was arguing with the archangel Michael about the body of Moses, but we don't know why. We don't know why. We don't know why the prince of Persia, a.k.a. Satan, was holding back the angel from delivering the message from Joseph. Daniel? I think it was Daniel. Was holding the message back from Daniel because that message was so important. It came from God, but Satan sought to intervene. Why? This is the stuff that we read about, but we should be seeking greater understanding of that because it gives us insight to understanding. When we're prepared, it's because of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's why a lot of brethren fall away. It's like a soldier goes into war and it doesn't even know who he's fighting against. You forget who your enemy is. In other words, when we turn our fire on each other or the world, that's what we call friendly fire. The Bible's telling you who your enemy is against. So if you're going to be prepared to go into battle, prepared to go into war, and you're training your fire on your own or the world itself, in the world I mean your neighbor, it says love thy neighbor as thyself. Your neighbor is not your enemy. Your brother and sister is not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. And so why do I keep emphasizing that? It's because, let's go to verse 13. Talk about preparation. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. It's impossible to stand firm if you don't have the whole armor of God, not the partial armor of God, not coming out here, not fully clothed with the armor. You must have it all. In verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having fasted on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish with all the flaming darts of the evil one. and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. What happens if you don't have the whole armor of God? Okay? You are exposed. You will have vulnerable points. So if you're not like a knight, has his full armor on, but if you don't have your full armor on, guess what? You're giving the enemy vulnerable points. And he's going to attack those vulnerable points. And so if you don't cover up fully, your enemy is going to exploit it and he's going to kill you. Spiritually, he's going to kill you and destroy you. And if you think whatever you're going through in this world is something, then you don't want any part of the second death. And so therefore, God is telling you how to prepare. He says again, have the whole armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Don't forget the truth. Don't forget to walk in righteousness. And the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness by the gospel of peace. Being ready. Shoes for your feet. Being ready to walk according to his ways. And you're walking according to his ways. Guess what? You're ready. You've been given the gospel of peace because you're ready. You're walking according to his ways. Then we look at verse 16. In all circumstances. You're going to battle. You need a shield. Your enemy is firing. You need a shield to protect yourself. And guess where those darts are coming from? Are they coming from your neighbor? Are they coming from your brothers and sisters? He says, no. All the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, I think we can safely say that Paul understands and is trying to deliver the message to the brethren in Ephesians, to the Ephesians. Your enemy is the one throwing darts at you. Whatever you're suffering through, whatever you're suffering through, your enemy is looking to exploit. Make sure you have your shield of faith up. And your shield of faith is understanding who's the one that's going to guide you through that suffering. But what if you lack faith? But you have no shield. And now you're exposed. And when you go into the war, if you're exposed, your enemy, you're just out there. You're a free, willing target. Okay? So the other thing is the helmet of salvation. You know, understanding that symbol of salvation. You are a soldier of Christ. What's that song, Soldier of Christ of Oz? You are a soldier. I remember I was in D.C. high school, I think my junior, senior year, and we didn't have we called the cheese bus. You guys know what I'm talking about, the yellow bus. We didn't catch the cheese bus. We caught the metro. We had the little pink car. And we were waiting at the bus stop, and my friend Doug, guy comes out. You know, you run into a lot of people with mental problems on the street. And he comes up to us and he's like, what's up, soldiers? And we were distracted by all this stuff on his hand, but we're just like, hey, soldiers, what's going on? And I'm looking at Doug like, we're doing fine. and we were kind of like nervous because it's like, you know, back in the day, they had to train, we were called the Latchkey Kid Generation. So your parents would train you, talk to strangers, don't talk to strangers, ignore the trouble and move on. Well, here's the problem. We have to catch the bus home. And the guy kept saying, referencing us as soldiers. You soldiers, do this, do that. That was actually kind of just listening to him. And honestly, there is some truth because during that time, D.C. had a major crime problem. And it was so bad that, you know, young kids back then were referencing soldiers because we were like surviving. That's what it was. We were surviving. And so you kind of did look at yourself as a soldier. The thing is, don't fire back. More so like run and get away from it. But it was a war. Violence was so bad in that city during that time. It was literally a war. And so therefore, it's when we're at war, as Christians, we got to be reminded that we are soldiers. We are soldiers. And so the other thing is, lastly, the weapon we can use. The only weapon we got is the word of God. And just as Christ came to this world in the flesh, Christ didn't come to declare war on the world. He came to save. He came to save. And so while some of the Jews were looking to not only kill him and maintain their own power, which we studied, which was when Jeff gave his Bible study in the book of John, we got to understand that sometimes, you know, our focus can be a little off if we're not prepared. And like I said this morning, we become complacent in our thinking. And so therefore, that's the enemy working within us. It starts right here. He gets us to become complacent. our focus is off. And so when we go through struggles, who are we looking to blame? And Satan is just sitting there smiling at you because you have lost your focus. You've become complacent. And so therefore, to get your focus back, you got to go back and say, do I have my full armor on? So let's look at a few scriptures in terms of what we have to do to overcome a lot of the problems we face and making sure we have our full armor on. So scripture number one is when we encounter people and we're going through trials because of who we are, we need to be prepared to make a defense. Look at Acts chapter 24 when Paul is facing Felix. And starting at verse 10, this is after the Jews are making charges against Paul. And the governor here has given Paul permission to speak. And in verse 10, Paul says, knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogue or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. Now, why am I reading this? Why is this relevant to this lesson? Here is Paul, a prisoner, for something, what they're accusing him of. He is not guilty. He knows he is not guilty. But what do we see people who try to justify evil works? They always try to use the Bible to justify evil works. We don't see that with Paul here. Paul is not looking to do evil. Paul is simply saying, hey, I know what the situation is. I know why I'm here. I know I'm an innocent man. But let me use this opportunity to give you the real reason, Felix. I'm not going to sit there and chastise you. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I'm a Christian, let me go now. No, he's not saying that. Paul is taking this opportunity to preach. Let me preach to you, Felix. Let me tell you what this is all about. He's not concerned about, hey, you may let me go, you may let me go. That's not his focus. His focus is the truth. So he said, let me tell you, Felix. You know, you've been a judge for many years. I'm going to acknowledge your authority. I cheerfully make my defense. I'm looking forward to this. To stand before you like he had to stand before Caesar. Another thing in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the apostle tells us, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as what? Holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet you do it with gentleness and respect. That's what Paul is doing. He was prepared to make a defense. Are you prepared to make a defense of the gospel? Are you prepared to do it the right way? With gentleness and respect. Not with slander, not with malice, not with anger, not with hate. That's not preaching. I don't care what you're quoting from the Bible. There are people who are quoting scripture and they're doing it with hate, slander. You can't quote the Bible with sin in mind. You got to do it the right way. If you try to slander people and just say, well, I'm a Christian, you're a sinner. Your slander is a sin. You can't do things and quote the Bible by doing the work of Satan. It doesn't work like that. When he says here, be prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope. And that's what Felix is doing to Paul. And Paul responds exactly with gentleness and respect. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27, where it says, prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house. We got to be ready. Got to get ready for your work outside. Before you build your house, you got to make sure it's on a firm foundation. You know, we got to make sure the land is ready before we build. You just don't go building. You got to survey the land. You got to be prepared. And so, you know, when we're prepared, notice that could be an interchangeable term scripturally with being also awake. Look at Luke chapter 21 verse 36. Luke 21 verse 36. But stay awake sometimes. No, he says all the time. Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus knew his apostles were going to face trials and tribulations after he has ascended to the Father. He's telling them, stay awake, praying that you may have strength to escape these things, because you're going to stand before Jesus. You're going to stand before Jesus. There is no way I can tell anyone that they're not going to suffer. Whatever suffering that you are going through, it may be unique to you, but there is a purpose behind you going through that, because God has given you a way to go through that suffering. He's given you a way out of that suffering. He's given you a way to be strong, to be courageous like Joshua. Joshua may have had doubts to following in Moses' footsteps, but God had to remind him, be strong and courageous, just like we ought to be strong in the Lord. No matter what you are going through, God will get you through it. That is not an if condition. If you are doing well, the if is if you trust in Him, trust in the Lord, you will, I'm going to say it again, you will get through it. You will. But you got to trust in Him. And so stand awake at all times. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. The prudent. If we are prepared, it says the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. In other words, you know what to do when you see danger. In this case, the prudent hides because he sees danger from afar. The simple would just ignore it. The ignorant would just ignore it. And so therefore, when we are prepared, we have to take certain action. We know what action to take if we are prepared. But what happens if we doubt? Because doubt does happen, right? You go through some things. You pray about it. You ask other people to pray. Week after week, day after day, it's the same nonsense. It's the same stuff. Year after year, Chris, I'm doing it. But look at this. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you. This is Jesus talking to the apostles. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That is one of the most encouraging scriptures I have ever read. Because you got to break it down. Jesus acknowledges that in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He's not fudging it. You know, there are probably some people think once you become a Christian, you got no problems at all. I have no idea where they get that from. If anything, you got more problems because Satan has seen the target on your back. He's coming after you. Jesus says, in me, you will have peace. I'm going to say it again. In me, you're going to have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. So you know where you're going to find peace? In Jesus. In Jesus. And so here's the steps you must take. Again, referencing Matthew 24, verse 44, where Jesus said, therefore, you all must be ready for the Son of Man's coming at an hour you do not expect. We understand Jesus is coming. We understand we got to face tribulations. We understand that we're going to have problems that may be unique to us, but nobody, for other people, it may not be as unique. We're going to go through those things. So here is the detailed solution. We got the high-level solution. Now I'm about to give you the detailed solution. What are you to do day-to-day to deal with that problem? Because guess what? Did Jesus' problems go away when he was on this earth? No, it actually kind of just got worse. You know, the longer he was on this earth, his own people were seeking to kill him and crucify him. And that's exactly what happened. But God used that against Satan for a door of salvation for everybody. What do you think with John? Think about what John said. Out of these stones, God raised up children to Abraham. Meaning, there's a path of salvation no matter what you're going through. But let's get down to the weeds here. How do we go through this? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm not going to read all verses, 22 verses. But it says, where Paul says, talking to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Number one, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Let me stop right here. You don't think Paul had any problems? We read about that in Corinthians, right? We don't think Paul didn't have people killing him? We didn't think Paul didn't go through some things. His own brethren were seeking, he had to prove his apostleship. He says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. No matter who's coming after you, or even days of peace, you must be ready to reprove, rebuke, extort with complete patience and teaching. He's telling this to Timothy. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and want off in myths. As for you, here's that word, sober-minded again. He's telling you what you need to do. Always be sober-minded. You're going through some suffering? Endure the suffering. Endure it. Make your, as Paul says, if you consider that your weakness, turn your weakness into your strength in Christ. Make it your strength. So likewise, endure the suffering. He's telling Timothy, do the work of the evangelist. You have a story to share. Your suffering is unique to you, but you have God there. Share it with someone else who's suffering. You'll be surprised at how it encourages you by you encouraging someone else. It's going to help you through whatever you're going through. Fulfill your ministry. Focus on Christ. Keep your focus. Don't let Satan get you off track and you get caught up into the weeds of your problem. Yes, I will acknowledge it's easy to lose focus when you're going through things. But when you are in Christ, be strong in the Lord. That's the key, in the Lord. You have to develop that connection with God. The same way you develop connection with people. And I know sometimes it's hard because I can see you, but how do you develop that connection with a God you cannot see? The key is, look around you. Christians, all around you. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. That's how they did it. That's what fellowship is. We serve the same cause. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 16:13. This is what we can do for each other when we bear one another's burdens. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. We have to be strong. Remember what the apostles went through when Jesus ascended in the book of Acts. They had to go through all kinds of suffering. Be jailed. Be tortured. Think of Paul. Paul was commanded by God, you must go to Rome to face Caesar. And you know what was going to happen. And history records, Paul didn't survive that when he went to Rome. At least history. We don't know scripturally, but if we go by history, he didn't survive that. And so we must understand our spiritual purpose. We can't sit there and tell God, well, God, can you have me live for another few more years? Or then I'll go about doing it. It doesn't work that way. Well, we are on a spiritual journey. You have to keep that in mind. You have something to defend. Your soul. You have an enemy that's looking to destroy you. God is saying, I'm going to help you to deal with that. And I'm going to help you to deal with your tribulations. I'm going to help you. But you got to do one thing. You got to trust me. I'm going to give you armor to help ward off the evil one when he comes at you. So no matter what you're going through, I'm going to help you. I'm asking you, just like I asked my servant Joshua, be strong and courageous. Trust in him. And we talk about trust, it's a confidence factor. I trust my brother Desmond. I trust you. I know you're going to be there. So it's a source of firm faith. I know he's going to be there. And so I end the lesson on this note. We must always stand firm in the faith. And being strong, we have to be in fellowship with one another. Do not be afraid to reach out to either one of us. I don't care how busy my schedule is. There are remedies that God has given me. It's called leave. I've used that before. Hey, boss, I got a family issue. I got to go home. It may not be talking about them, it may be talking about you. If you need someone to talk to, call anybody. It doesn't matter who. If you're going through struggles, we can pray. If you feel like your prayers aren't being answered or whatever doubt, we can all pray. We can pray now. We have the power of the word of God. That's why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. We have it. Let's use our resources to our advantage to overcome the struggle. Because guess what? Your struggles is for you to help some soul out there that's going through struggles. And you can share your struggles just as Paul and everybody else is sharing the struggles. You become stronger. And then out there, you bring them in. So they can see that we are able to overcome our struggles. So this is the lesson. Please stand for as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.